For the second Sunday of Christmas, the lectionary, a schedule of readings that many traditions and denominations make use of and that I make use of from time to time, season to season, the lectionary gives us two readings. In a moment, I'll read from the Gospel of John, but first, Judy's going to read from Ephesians, the first chapter, the opening words of the apostle as he offers a beautiful summary of the good news about Jesus. Listen for a word from the Lord.
Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed in it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And then from the Gospel of John, also in the New Testament, the opening words of John's first chapter. Most of us know these almost by heart. Listen for a word from the Lord. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This Word, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came to be. What has come into being in him was life. And this life was the light of all people. Indeed, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Indeed, we have heard those words most of our lives, those of us who've known the blessing of coming up through church and worshiping in the communion of church season after season, Christmas after Christmas, always John 1 makes it into the readings. It's different, of course. Most of the readings this time of year, they're very story-built, very much about funny and peculiar characters like wise men and shepherds and all the animals and Mary and Joseph. But John 1 takes a whole different turn. Doesn't look down in history at the specificity of all these Christmas characters, but actually casts a gaze on eternity. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I know that over the years, and this is a good thing, many of a preacher has said to you that the word behind word, the Greek, in John's original offering that comes out in English as word is logos, not Legos, those things you step on Christmas morning and make you want to scream. Logos, L-O-G-O-S, wonderful, interesting, deceptively short little Greek word. It's often translated in our Bibles, word, and that's not bad, but it may be a little deceptive. Word makes us think of words. In the beginning was the Word, and it's easy for the brain to start thinking about singular words. I don't know, pick your favorite word, cantaloupe, appendix, trampoline. This is just what I came up with last night. You fill in your own. The point is, word makes the brain go to a word. The beginning was a word. But more interestingly than that, actually, logos, as an old, old Greek idea, grabbed and baptized by the first disciples and followers of Jesus, is not just word, but speech, words, the way words get put together in some beautiful logic and actually come forth out of the mouth and don't just disturb the air and fill the world with more noise. Who needs that? But the astonishing gift that word can join with word, can join with word, and together they actually say something. Communicate something, bring something into the world that didn't exist beforehand. Logos is not just a word like Christmas tree, but more like when we see the tree, we know it's the season of Jesus' birth. It's the moment of communication. It's the breaking of silence to say something, to express something, to bring something to be. You know this moment. You know, like when your grandchildren do something really adorable. What's that impulse that arises up in you, grandparents? You want to share that with somebody, right? So out comes the smartphone, and you flip to the right picture, and you say, look at my adorable grandchild. And you tell the story of what cute, lovely, or slightly irreverent or disobedient thing your adorable grandchild has done. It's going from idea and experience to expression. You want to put that out into the world. Good things are meant to be shared and not contained. Or when your older children accomplish something great, graduation, scholarships, dean's list, they actually get a job, whatever it is. What do you want to do? You want to let somebody know. You want to say, hey, I've got good news. Guess what? Or in your own growing up years, as you're learning and discovering and finding your way, and suddenly the future has some clarity, or suddenly this thing you've been struggling with comes into view, you want to come home and you actually want to tell your parents or somebody. I get it. I see it. Let me tell you about it. I think that's logos. I think that's feeling and thought and the way they come together, and you just can't help but get it out of your body and use words to make it more true than it was before. Some of you may know the name J.B. Phillips. If you've been around the church a while and doing Bible study for a while, J.B. Phillips was a New Testament scholar in Britain a couple generations back. He wrote some wonderful books. One of them was Your God is Too Small. Some of you may have that paperback on your shelf from the 60s or 70s. He also did an entire translation of Scripture, not unlike the Message or the Living Bible, though it's not as well known. It's called the Phillips Bible or the Phillips New Testament. It's wonderful. He was a smart guy and a devotee to Scripture. Here's how Phillips translates the first couple of verses of John 1. At the beginning, God expressed God's self. And that personal expression, that word, those words, that was God. With God and of God and was God. That word existed with God from the start. All creation took place through that word. None took place without it. In him appeared life, and this life was the light of all. That light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. That's helpful and beautiful and true. So my journey has been to stop thinking about God as a kind of solitary, well, let me just say it, old man, all alone from the beginning, possibly slightly bored, and so out of that boredom comes creation, so there'll be somebody to hang out with, whatever. As the years go along and as my journey with this gospel continues and deepens, I just relish in the beauty of a picture of God, not as solitary, not as all alone, not as quiet and still, but as logos, you see. What has God been doing for all of eternity? Speaking, sharing. And you see, in the context of our Trinitarian faith, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God has been sharing in this beautiful, rich, eternal conversation. Talking about the better things. Looking in the eye, knowing and being known. It's just the best stuff of conversation. Unfortunately, they don't happen often enough in our lives, these kinds of rich, intimate encounters. All of us, your preacher included, have a tendency to try to multitask. Someone you love is telling you something that's important to them. Or TV or newspaper or whatever. Don't blame it on the devices. We all do it in lots of different ways. We both crave the intimacy of conversation and we resist it at the same time. That's a part of our peculiar creatureliness. But here's the gift. That every now and then, a conversation comes along in your life where someone looks you in the eye, and you look them in the eye, and words are shared, and barriers are lowered, and there is understanding and acknowledgement, and there is respect and dignity. And for once, you feel like those thoughts and feelings that churn around in most of us, that you can give them voice, and more to the point, they are heard and acknowledged. That's a powerful moment in our lives. And I suspect for most of us, they don't happen often enough. And I guarantee you in the world around us, friends, neighbors, strangers, fellow students, coworkers, family members, I guarantee you it's not happening often enough. The good news, though, it's always been going on in God. The deep, abiding, loving gift of knowing and being known. And if you say to me at this moment, preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I don't understand a bit of what you're saying. Good. Good. You see, that's where our worship begins. God is not a thing to be grasped, a concept to be mastered. God is ineffably sublime, the old Christians used to say, beyond our understanding. Rejoice in the fact that it makes no sense whatsoever. And celebrate the news that has come to us. In the beginning was a conversation, was speech, was the beautiful back and forth. And through that conversation, that living logos, everything has been made. It makes all the difference in the world. And it means, among other things, that every time we ourselves have that moment, the knowing and the being known, it is a holy echo of what originally was. It is that our ancient and original logos in flesh right in our midst, brought to life in the beauty and power of conversation. That is, by the way, one great way to understand Jesus. Who is Jesus? The baby turned adult Jesus. Jesus is the overflowing of God's conversation into the world. It's that original divine blessing come forth in our midst, in our space and our time. Singer-songwriter Michael Card, one of my favorites, he puts it this way. You and me, he wrote, we use so very many clumsy words. The noise of what we often say, not worth being heard. But when the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate God's love, he spoke it in one final and perfect word. He spoke the incarnation, and so was born a son. That final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born a baby who would die to make it mine. I can't do much better than that. Logos. Thanks be to God. Amen.